would you like to be able to go from $300 to $30 million? Victor Voss will tell us how he did it, and he went from a $300 side hustle to a $30 million e-commerce brand. And tell us, Victor, how did you do it?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Hey, thanks, Lily. So I started out with nothing. I was doing online side hustles, kind of. I was freelancing in e-commerce marketing automation, doing email automation and conversion rate optimization, a little bit of consulting when it, about long form copy and high converting copy, that kind of thing. But I was always trying to get my own thing off the ground, which is a lot easier said than done, especially when you don't have any money. So I just had a few extra $100. Couple hundred dollars a month extra, I guess. And I started, I threw together a landing page. I had an idea and a niche of a niche. So you, one of the things that I always say in my books is you want to niche down, not up. The more specific you can get, the better with your audience, with your product, with your pain points, with your solution. You really want to get hyper nichey with it. So that's what I did. I built a landing page. I set up a pre-order system because I couldn't afford to buy any inventory to get anything off the ground until I got enough pre-orders to be able to buy that inventory. And I started running just simple Reddit ads because that's what I knew how to manage. It was easy. I'm not really a media buyer still to this day, and started getting pre-orders. And I turned that into a little bit of momentum with a Discord channel for pre-orders, with my email automation background, SMS automation background, things like that. And just really set everything up to scale from the beginning, because I had previously worked with coaching a lot of small, medium businesses doing in the neighborhood of like $10,000 to $50,000 a month top line. So very small. And they were often stuck because their systems didn't scale with their customers. So, for example, if I were to tell them, all right, tomorrow, what happens if you get 500% more customers? Is everything going to collapse? All your systems going to collapse? And they would, usually. So I built everything in the beginning to scale so that when I started pouring gas on the fire with media buyers and paid traffic and that kind of a thing, everything just scaled up. So the first year, I kicked it off in January 2018. First year did 550,000 top line. The following year, it was 5.5 million. So you can see the systems that I set up scaled with the customers, as opposed to having everything collapse at some point and be unable to grow up without revenue. So and then it just kind of kept going. So.
Thank you. Tell us, what are your 10 commandments for someone who, let's say, is currently selling $300 per month and wants to scale to 30 million? Where would someone start in order to set up systems that would enable their company to be scalable over the long term?
10 whole commandments, huh? Well, I mean, always niche down, not up. So usually if you're in doing really low sales volume, there's one of two things going on. One is like the offer messaging isn't aligned with the audience. The other could be, of course, just lack of marketing dollars, you know, being applied towards whatever it is you're doing. The very first thing that I would do is, like I said, make sure that you have a single product, a single pain point, a single solution to a single target audience. Niche. And so that you're using the same jargon that they use, the same slang, the same, you want to be one of them. And so they want to see, you need to be viewed as that with whatever it is that you're marketing. Now, of course, you know, when you ask me, what could somebody do? I'm assuming that they're selling online right at this point. So that's what my expertise is. I'm not like a brick and mortar guy or anything like that. then your fulfillment needs to scale if you're selling a physical product. So inventory / fulfillment, the whole supply chain, you know, you have to have that ready to scale up. That's a lot easier said than done. If it's digital, of course, you don't have that problem. So that's great. That's why I'm a big proponent of digital products and like my books and stuff. And then you need to have customer service that scales. People oftentimes don't think about this. And then what happens is they start bringing on more customers. And then all of a sudden, they're getting their time pulled away to deal with customer inquiries. Dealing with customers doesn't make you money. It has to be done, but it doesn't make you money. Somebody needs to be doing that. Shouldn't be you. Now, of course, I started before AI, right? You know, the AI didn't exist. There was automation and stuff like that, but there was definitely no like LLMs. Now we have that. So now like 80-something% of customer inquiries can be answered with any customer service platform with an AI integration. So that takes a big load off of all entrepreneurs, but you still need to have something there, which leads me to the next point. You need to have SOPs, standard operating procedures. And you need to have them for everything. If you do something more than once, it needs to be documented, needs to be systemized so that somebody, preferably like a low-cost VA, can come in and do it. And that's what you need to have, or anybody needs to have, for their customer service. So you have that documented out so that you can have a hourly VA basically handling the customer service tickets that your automation and or AI doesn't handle. Now, of course, there might be some tricky ones every now and then. Those can get forwarded up to, I mean, if you're still in the small size, it can get forwarded up to, you know, the solopreneur. But there's no money in being a solopreneur. That's not scalable. So, you know, that's why I'm going through all this right now. These are the things you have to have. So got the VA handling that. Next thing you need to have is your paid traffic. I mean, people go way too big on social media, trying to do organic, trying to do SEO, don't waste your time. Don't do it. You don't control Google. You don't control Facebook. You don't control TikTok, whether something goes viral or not. It's a waste of time. Pay the money, get the return on investment. It's not an expense. It's an investment. If anybody that looks at marketing as an expense is in the wrong line of work, this is not for you. if you're getting, you know, the idea is to systemize where you put in $1 and you get $1+ back, $1+X, where X, A, covers your marketing expenses, B, covers your cost of goods, et cetera, et cetera. So you need to aim for the proper ROAS, which is return on ad spend, that allows your company to scale. Then you just pour fuel on the fire. And you're accelerating that system up until you reach diminishing returns. Now, of course, it's a lot easier said than done. And then there's a lot of different ways you can branch out in terms of both your paid marketing, in terms of your follow-up, which that leads me to the next step. Before you start throwing money at paid, you need to have a really solid lead nurture system in place, which means a method to capture, probably a lead magnet, definitely email automation follow-up, definitely SMS automation follow-up. You need your welcome series, your intro, your nurture, your abandoned cart, all that kind of stuff needs to be dialed in. Can't scale without it. These are like, you know, the core e-commerce basics that you got to have. Obviously, a decent sales funnel, checkout system, checkout flow, whatever it is, which also leads me to, you have to have upsells. You need to have, you know, full-on upsells. You need to have like order bumps, which is like no-brainer add-ons. Those are imperative because you have to maximize your initial average order value to maximize to hit your ROAS goals on paid. You're not going to be able to do it otherwise. So you got to have all this stuff locked in. And of course, all of the upsell automation that upsells them everything that they didn't choose during checkout, that has to be in place. So does just making them feel good about what they purchased. So their post-purchase automation, that has to be in place. What happens after they buy? They need to get emails about that, SMSs about that, adjacent product offerings, et cetera, et cetera. Again, this is all the core marketing automation that has to be in place before paid spend, but it's imperative for scale. So that's kind of the nutshell of like what you have to have to like get started. You see a lot of BS online about, oh, you can start making money online in 10 minutes. Well, maybe you can make a sale in 10 minutes, but you can't even open a bank account in 10 minutes. Now, should it take you years? No. My philosophy is ready, fire, aim, which means because perfectionists and being perfection, like trying to achieve perfection gets you nowhere. You'll never, you just get stuck sitting there iterating. I've seen many entrepreneurs that are like always striving for perfection and never actually sell anything because they're still too busy iterating and telling themselves why it won't work, that it won't work. So like you got to ready, fire, aim it, and just get something out there that's functional, rather than, you know, constantly trying to nitpick every single like line space or something like that.
Thank you. So, let's take a practical example. Okay. So in Reddit and Quora, there's a lot of, there's a lot of, I'm not sure if you call them articles, but let's say there's a lot of, I'm not sure what the word is for that. When people add their opinions about different things. So let's say there's a lot of opinions and there's a lot of talk about narcissism, okay, and narcissistic people, for example. There's literally millions of people that add their opinion about, you know, narcissistic men and narcissistic women and what they do and what they don't do and this kind of thing. So I see an opportunity, for example, to write a book about narcissism. And I'm wondering from your perspective, let's take this example of the book on narcissism on a topic that is widely discussed with millions of people on Reddit and Quora, for example. And like that, there's also a lot of topics that people are really interested in related to, let's say, dating and becoming a femme fatale, you know, becoming like this dark, you know, femme fatale that kind of attracts, her desired relationship anytime she wants and, you know, is in charge as opposed to being like this doormat. So I'm wondering, how would you leverage, give us an example of how you would leverage this knowledge, this piece of information that you know that there are millions of people interested in this topic and millions of people that are already pretty much like adding the entire content for your book, even actually in Reddit or in Quora, because they're like so keen to like add to their piece of information. And I find a lot of the content is actually to some extent repetitive. It's kind of like tends to say the same thing, but it's something that people are still curious to know because there are still millions of people who don't know it. So how would you leverage this piece of information to kind of turn it into something you can sell in terms of like selling, for example, millions of books?
Okay, so we're assuming right now the starting point is an idea only, but no existing book, right? What I would do is start trying to bring people into the construction of the writing, authorship of the book. So psychologically speaking, people are more likely to purchase something they feel that they helped create. So if, for example, I would take something like that. Now, millions of people, first of all, is a large audience. So what I would do is I would drill down a specific kind of narcissism or narcissism affecting a specific group or talking to a specific group. Perhaps people that had narcissistic mothers or people that have narcissistic siblings or people that aren't sure if the narcissist in their life should be eliminated. Like narcissistic friends, say, examples. I would, again, always niche down, not up. Then, for example, if you're already active on Reddit or Quora, somebody's already active in these online groups, say, for example, start making it known, hey, I'm writing a book about preferably this pain point towards this specific thing. So people with narcissistic mothers that want to continue the relationship, but create healthy boundaries. You know, it needs to be like hyper specific and narrow, because then all of the people that have that specific problem will hone right into it. And they'll be like, oh my gosh, that's me. And then those are the kind of people that when you're kind of being more general about it, you're out there posting, hey, I've started writing a book on this topic, here's why, here's who I am, maybe throw out some education background or credentials that kind of give some authority to as to why that you're qualified to write this book, for example, and then get people invested in it. So say, hey, I'd like to hear stories from people that are like this with this problem that want this outcome. Get on my list or join the subreddit or comment here or hop in the Discord or wherever the target audience lives is where you need to go. Whether that's Reddit, whether that's Quora, Discord, TikTok, whatever, doesn't really matter. Just you have to go where they are. Give them a way to come to you in a way that you know that they're already using. and start getting feedback. Start having them submit stories, having them submit their pain points, having them submit their problems, having them talk about whatever it is, and start rewarding them for it. As in, even just saying things like, "Hey, you know, this is really helping me shape this book," or "I need 100 people to help me, you know, give me their stories. You'll get a free copy, or your credits, your name will be in the credits," or, you know, something like that. Start trying to build like a little bit of a social community around it. And then, you know, hopefully that scales up over time. So let's say you're spending 6 months, say, working on this book, or 12 months, whatever it is. You keep building the community while you're working. And they're getting invested more and more over time. They're providing you, hopefully, with actual legitimate insight. Plus, they're going to be your future customers. And then they're going to tell other people, "Hey, I helped write this book, you know, check out," or, "I helped the author with this book, you know, you should buy this book." You know, so they're going to be end up being like your brand advocates. And there's platforms too that you can pull them in on to incentivize them, things like UpViral, Viral Loop, stuff like that, where that you can have even like leaderboards. You can incentivize them to share stuff. You can incentivize them to sign up for your email list, and they can get a share of a link that they get a commission or gifts or points that they can redeem for stuff. And just, you know, kind of go from there. And then, of course, all of the marketing basics come into play after something is created, right? So let's say the book gets finished, you know, you've been using all this, you have some early sales, and then hopefully you can build, like I said, that affiliate network or that referral network. And then, of course, you can start your paid advertising and stuff like that, because now you know exactly what the pain points are, because you've made an amazing book that's really speaking to this particular sub niche, because you've pulled in all their input for it. So like, you can really get narrow with your and hyper specific with your marketing, which is going to make it convert a lot better. So that's the path I would take, or something similar to that.
Thank you. So first of all, why is it so important for it to be so niche, so specific? For example, why not like a generic topic of, you know, the narcissist rescue kit, which applies to millions of people, versus like a super super targeted, you know, sub niche? And also, how do you discover what language? Because you mentioned earlier when you were kind of giving the examples of the commandments, what in what sense can you speak their language? Like, how do you know which language they will speak, so you can kind of like include that exact language into the wording of the book, into the title of the book? Because normally I do, let's say, research on Google Keyword Planner, but that's kind of you know, Google Keyword Planner or TubeBuddy or Vidiq, but that's pretty much it in terms of like how I would find out what people, you know, might search related to that specific phrase that I'm looking to write about. How would you include the way they would speak into the book, so they would feel aligned with that specific book, so they would feel attracted to that specific book, so they would buy it?
Okay. So there's two questions here. One's the why a smaller audience as opposed to a larger, and then one is including their, you know, the colloquialisms with your product. So the first one is that people with large marketing budgets can reach large audiences, and that you still aren't necessarily convert every sub audience of a larger audience with the same marketing. For example, my product, for one of my main companies, is a pretty small niche of a niche, but it doesn't prevent me from making up to 7 figures a month on it. And the point being that it doesn't take a ton of people to make a ton of money. I mean, you can have between 5 and 25,000 subscribers to something and be making really good money, and that's not very many people. And you'll pay less to convert them because you're speaking to them in exactly the way that they are accustomed to speaking to each other. And that leads me to your second question, which is how to get that information, how to include it. That's where like I said, you need to go where they are. So if you're already hanging out in those subreddits, if you're already hanging out on the Quora, you're seeing how they speak to each other, you're seeing their complaints, you're seeing how they write, you're seeing how they refer to each other, what lingo that they use, use it. And again, like I was saying, if you pull together this kind of focus group and study group and kind of form a mini community around your book writing, you're going to get all that feedback too. And you can ask them, you can be like, "Here's 3 titles I'm considering. What do you guys think?" Have a survey, send it out. etc. I mean, that's what I did a lot of that when I was first launching my company. I was just constantly asking my pre-order Discord channel stuff because I didn't know the space at all. And you don't have to know the space to make a lot of money in it, but you have to know your audience. You have to know how they perceive what you're selling, how they speak to each other. And so again, you just have to get out there and do your research. Now, as far as Google Keyword Planner, it's a useful tool. But remember, Google searches are not always high intent. I mean, they're not, they could be high intent, but they're not always conversion oriented or conversion. There's not necessarily a purchase intent behind a search intent. What I mean by that is maybe some people are just looking for information, right? I mean, maybe they'll convert. But that's why, like, Google Ads is not the primary driver for most e-commerce stores. It's Meta. And they're not searching on Meta, but Meta knows everything about everybody. And so it knows exactly when and how to put what and where in front of them. And so if your ad matches up to how they're used to seeing, okay, for example, like if you had a generic narcissism ad, they might be interested or they might not be, even though they have some kind of narcissistic thing going on in their life that is a concern to them. But if they see you have people with narcissistic mothers that still want to talk to them ad, they're going to much more readily identify to that if that's the problem that they have. And so the click-through rate, the conversion rate is going to be a lot higher for that, which means your return on ad spend is going to be a lot higher. Now, if you have a more generic product, yes, you can reach more. Let's say you want to try to reach everyone with a narcissism concern, but you have to slot down the sub audiences, which means, okay, now you have to target this whole campaign, the ads, the copy, the landing page, the checkout flow to people that have narcissistic mothers. Now this one to people that have narcissistic fathers. Now this one to people that have narcissistic siblings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, you could end up selling to a lot more, but your workload's a lot higher. So it kind of depends on where you are. Now, if you have a whole marketing team, if you have the money to back this up, if you have the money to do all the split testing, to build all this stuff out, which, you know, now the barrier to entry is a lot lower with AI, you know, it might be perfectly fine. But, you know, most of the time I'm speaking to people with side hustles, solopreneurs that are wanting to scale up, but they don't have the resources to do something like that yet. So I'm meeting them where they are, teaching them how to go from where they are to scale.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
VictorVoss.com. I have a free ebook and a free email crash course for anyone that punches in their email there.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.